Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Spud Chat. I'm Ryan Barrett with the PEI Potato Board. In this episode, I'm speaking with Dr. Ian Scott. He's an entomologist and research scientist with Agriculture Canada in London, Ontario. And Ian was one of the leads on a national cluster project on Colorado potato beetle that wrapped up last year in 2023 and had some very interesting results all across Canada, but particularly for growers here in Prince Edward Island, looking at insecticide resistance in relation to Colorado potato beetles. We know that potato beetles seem to be experts at getting around chemistries and becoming resistant in short order to chemistry. So it's important to understand what levels of resistance we're facing and then how do we use those results to improve our IPM strategies going forward. So I was happy to have this opportunity to talk to Ian and learn a little bit more about that project and share some of those results. As always, if you have any questions or have any feedback about Spud Chat, want to give us suggestions for future episodes, please feel free to reach out. I'm on Twitter or X at rbarrettpei or reach out to me here at the Potato Board. So without further ado, let's hear from Ian Scott with Agriculture Canada. Today on Spud Chat, I'm joined by Dr. Ian Scott. Ian is a research scientist with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in London, Ontario. Welcome to Spud Chat, Ian.
Oh, hi, Ryan. Thanks for inviting me to be on the podcast.
Great to have you. Ian, the reason I asked you to talk to us today on Spud Chat is the last few years you've been involved with some work on a cluster project around Colorado potato beetle. That's how I've come to know you and come to be in contact with you. Tell me a little bit about your role at Canada, what your research interests, and kind of what got you involved in this project.
Sure. So I've been at the London Research Centre for a little over 15 years now. My research since I've been there has focused on a number of different areas related to entomology, of course. That includes insecticide toxicology, integrated pest management, and chemical ecology. One of the objectives of our department has been to address the threats to agriculture and agri-food value chain. So my research has focused on a number of areas to try and do that, which includes developing diagnostic tools that allow for more timely monitoring of insecticide resistance, to develop novel phytochemical or plant chemical based insecticides and synergists, and to investigate the use of transgenic plants or trap crops to help manipulate insect behavior through repellency and attraction. So those are some of the things that I've been involved in.
Well, those are a lot of very interesting areas of research and all very applicable to the work that we do in potatoes. Colorado potato beetles. We know that they are a beast unto themselves, and they are one of nature's best critters when it comes to developing resistance. And of course, that's really important for potato growers everywhere. What is it about Colorado potato beetles that they can overcome chemical control so quickly and that they're such a driver for insecticide resistance?
Well, I probably don't need to tell you or your listeners that are potato growers that, you know, Colorado potato beetles, or CPB, are one of the most damaging foliage feeding insect pests of potatoes. Infestations of potato fields are often cause sharp reductions in potato yields. Unless potato beetles are controlled quite promptly through the use of insecticides, this is what usually happens. Adequate pest control has been a major concern owing to the repeated development of resistance by CPB populations to most conventional insecticides that have been registered for it. A study that I was part of between 2008 and 2011, along with industry collaborators, found that surveys of insecticide susceptibility, tolerance, and resistance of neonic insecticides show that there was a decline in the effectiveness of those products with a number of our potato beetle populations. One of the reasons that potato beetles are such a problem is that to potato plants and their ability to become resistant is due to their enhanced metabolism of plant chemicals and insecticides through their detoxification enzymes. For example, cytochrome P450s and esterases. Our research at London has identified in multi-resistant potato beetle strains that there's increases in both P450s and glycosyl transferases which helps to break down the insecticides very quickly.
And they just seem to be, as soon as there's a chemistry available, you know, there's a ticking clock basically with Colorado's in terms of, you know, we know they will develop resistance at some point. It's just about how long we can keep that effectiveness, correct?
That's right. That's right. It's, I mean, the term pesticide treadmill, I think, has been used, you know, many times, especially with this insect, because it does have the sort of innate ability to detoxify most, if not all, chemistries that have been registered for it over the years.
And so that kind of leads me to, as part of the last national cluster project that was done under FVGC and the Canadian Potato Council, you were part of a national team, looking at insecticide resistance in Colorado potato beetles across the country. Can you tell us a little bit about how that project was developed and then how it was sort of delivered across the country?
Sure. So I think I mentioned earlier that I had been part of an earlier study on the susceptibility to neonicotinoids when I first started. And based on some of those results, there, you know, obviously was increasing resistance to the neonicotinoids. And when the opportunity arose in 2017 to submit another proposal, we had the opportunity to do some follow-up work, and not only on neonicotinoids, but some of the other registered classes of insecticides for potato beetles, to see what was happening in Canadian populations. So this AgriScience Cluster Program project proposal was aimed to develop a strong national network for resistance monitoring, with increased sampling effort to identify both increasing spatial and temporal variations in the resistance. The goal was to provide regionally relevant information on the development of resistance across resistance and provide new deliverables of value to the potato industry. So as I mentioned, the overall goal was to reduce economic losses to potato in Canadian growing regions due to the Colorado potato beetle. Specifically, we aim to determine local susceptibilities of CPB populations to these several classes of insecticides, improve resistance management, better characterize the molecular basis of developing resistance, and develop novel extension tools to improve the management practices.
Right. And so I know we were a partner in that process, in that project here in PEI, and I worked with some of my other colleagues here with the Department of Agriculture. And what we did is you guys would kindly send us down kits on and give us collection instructions, and we would I know personally, like, I would talk with producers and I'd kind of find out through the summer where people were finding populations of potato beetles, and say, you know, maybe finding them a little later in the season than they expected to, or maybe sometimes even after they'd done a foliar spray or something, and trying to identify whether or not, you know, these may be populations that have some resistance. And then we would take those live beetles and send them to you guys. And we were sending you, you know, 7 or 8 samples a year. Once those beetles got to you, how were you assessing them for resistance?
So we had initially chosen insecticides from 3 classes that were commonly used by growers for control of potato beetles, including the neonicotinoids, anthranilic diamides, and the spinosyns. So we chose at least two products within each of those classes to test at diagnostic concentrations with larvae from the beetles that were collected in the field by yourself and by extension people across the country. And all these populations were tested at a larval life stage with a diagnostic concentration that had been determined previously using our lab strain of potato beetle. So this concentration should have caused very high mortality if the insects remain susceptible. So we were able to screen the incoming potato beetle populations each year over 5 years and provide, you know, whether or not compared to a susceptible population, the populations remain susceptible, they showed reduced susceptibility, or they were becoming resistant based right. on the mortality in our bioassays.
And so what you did so far was all based on, you know, taking beetles, collecting beetles, rearing beetles if need be to get them to that larval stage, and then subjecting them to different levels of those pesticides. Is there any potential of then, once if you find resistance in certain populations, can we then look at those populations, look at their genes, and look at, you know, trying to identify certain genes that we know are maybe related to resistance? Or I know that's maybe been done in a couple other insects. We've done some work on aphids on that in the past here. Just wondering if like that might be a route going forward of maybe more a quicker turnaround or quantitative turnaround of being able to look at what level of resistance is in the population.
Yes, that was one of our objectives as well, was to look at genetic markers if they were known already for particular insecticides in insects, or to screen for changes in genetic makeup in these resistant insects versus compared to more susceptible ones. So we were actually able to generate some new knowledge of potential molecular signatures of resistance in some of the CPB populations we screened. A number of novel gene targets were identified with the potential to use these down the road as biomarkers for diagnosis. As well, we also know that they may also be targets for RNA interference or RNAi-based pest management tools in future.
Right on. Yeah, I think that's more and more we're going to see those types of marker-assisted identification for insecticide resistance can maybe help us respond more quickly to some of these issues. So you mentioned that was a deliverable or an outcome of your research. I have been involved the last year or so kind of disseminating some of these results back out to producers as well, because there's been a lot of great work done from this project all across Canada. And I think the thing that really struck me was it's definitely not the same across Canada what the levels of resistance were. And even within a province, we could see considerable difference depending on where in a province we were taking samples to. Can you maybe just give us a brief overview of kind of what you did see in terms of resistance here in Prince of Rhode Island, but also maybe across Canada, and kind of putting the lens on where some of that variability was?
Yeah, certainly. So the data from the 5 years of our survey show that interestingly, the highest levels of resistance were found in organic potato production, specifically to spinosad insecticides. So that was one of our, you know, sort of key findings. Luckily, the spinosads do remain generally effective, despite this developing resistance. Also, regionally, in the West, Manitoba showed some of the highest amount of resistance to the neonicotinoids, with nearly 40% of sample populations showing resistance to this group. In Ontario, beetles showed also high levels of resistance to neonicotinoids, with nearly 60% showing reduced susceptibility or resistance. In the case of the spinosads, the reduced susceptibility was detected in the highest percentages in Manitoba and Ontario, but by far the highest was in Quebec. Resistance or reduced susceptibility to diamides showed similar patterns in Manitoba, Ontario, and Quebec, with higher susceptibility shown in the Maritimes, with full susceptibility in Alberta. For example, of the 18 populations out of 139 we tested, about 13% were susceptible to all insecticides. And the majority of these were found in Alberta and Prince Edward Island.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I know in talking to some of the people in Manitoba, they do think, you mentioned the organics. I think part of the reason for some of the resistance issues out there is because the organic folks only really had one product to use. And so they became very, and it was a foliar product. So they became very reliant on that product. And then I think, then if it's also related to some of the other insecticides in the same class, that can be a reason for some of that insecticide resistance. But it's interesting that, we see this difference in the neonic resistance between different parts of the country, even though we've all been using neonics for about the same amount of time in about the same way. And there isn't that much difference in our length of rotations, let's say. Like in PEI, most of our rotations are 3 years long. In Alberta, it may be 4 years, but a lot of Manitoba is 3 years. A lot of Ontario is 3 years. Some places are even shorter rotation lengths. New Brunswick, which generally has a shorter rotation length than us, isn't really seeing much difference. So we're just wondering, do you have any theories as to maybe why certain areas are seeing different levels of resistance and other than just the nature or maybe climatic differences between those regions?
Yeah, those differences are certainly, we feel worth following up on. I don't think based on the data that we have now that we can completely determine why, say Manitoba versus PEI does have these higher levels of resistance. It could be a number of different factors. We looked at field size. We looked at the number of applications per season, the number of years the products have been applied. And there, in those cases, there really weren't any strong correlations that we could find. So definitely something we would like to follow up on going forward.
I know here in Prince Edward Island, the sort of the hot spot for resistance, or at least the hot spot for growers saying they're having a big problem controlling Colorado's the last few years, tends to be in the western part of the province, in sort of the far western part of the province. And we've always included some samples from that area in our samples to you. And I think that's an area which generally has the tightest rotation. So there's more potatoes in two or say 2 and 5 rotations up there than maybe the rest of the province. And it's also an area of high potato density in terms of, a lot of the arable land is in a potato rotation, especially sort of that O'Leary Elmsdale area is very, it's potato country, it's very much, there's potatoes. All. So even if you don't have a big population of Colorados, in your year, the guy next door that's growing potatoes the year before, maybe he does, and then they overwinter in the hedgerow, and they're a sense of a source of inoculum to infect the field. So that seems to be an area of particular, like an area where we're seeing them more, and it kind of makes sense a little bit, epidemiologically, I suppose. But I've asked other growers in other areas, in other provinces, are you guys seeing similar things? And, even in southern Alberta where, Lethbridge area where they got lots of potatoes now, they don't seem to be seeing an issue with potato beetles. They just, maybe their climate just, maybe they don't survive the winter in Alberta. I don't know, but they seem to be a little bit more fortunate than us when it comes to potato beetle resistance.
Yeah, I think some of the products that they seem to have been reporting in their that they've been using are maybe not necessarily the ones that we're testing either. So I think they remain susceptible to the products that we've screened those populations with.
Right. So here in PEI, we did see, you know, there is an increasing trend of resistance to the neonic chemistries. Not as much, as you said, as some of the other parts of the country, but we definitely are seeing that increased trend. And a little bit on some of the foliar products, but not quite as bad as you say, again, as Quebec or Manitoba and a couple other places. One of the products that seems to be still no resistance found here so far is abamectin.
Yes.
So I think there's been a few growers that are looking, you know, for cleaning up resistant populations. That might be an issue. But I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, an IPM approach and really focusing on rotation of chemistries again, right? Like it's, we can't get too, maybe we got a little too reliant on neonics over the last number of years, and we have to get back, put our IPM hats back on and make sure we're practicing good rotations.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the bottom line from our findings is that you still have to rotate the chemistries that you have available to you as much as possible from within the season and between years as well.
Yeah. And different groups and making sure that the, you know, we could be rotating chemistries, but if they're chemistries from the same group, they're not really accomplishing that true rotation.
Yes, for sure. Make sure you're between using different classes, certainly be within the same season if you have to go in for a second application.
Yeah. No, and I think even here people are, you know, even if they're only going once, they're trying, you know, 1 year not to go into the same product as they do the next year, just to keep making sure that we're rotating some chemistries and not building up that resistance. So, Ian, kind of what's the next step of the last? So this cluster project ended in March last year. We sent you a few more samples this year. Kind of what's the next steps in terms of monitoring this resistance across Canada, and what else can we be doing to keep an eye on insecticide resistance in potato beetles?
So as I mentioned, the most important finding for growers is that reduced susceptibility and development of resistance are highest for the spinosyn organic insecticides across all regions, specifically in Quebec. But this is happening to a certain extent in neonicotinoids and diamide products. High levels of reduced susceptibility are seen to the neonicotinoids, and increasing levels of reduced susceptibility to diamides with cross resistance found in some populations. This signifies that resistance management should continue to prioritize rotating amongst insecticide classes and between years to extend the longevity of all classes of insecticides for control of CPV. We're hoping that some of the data that we've produced will soon be viewable on the online interactive mapping database that growers, extension specialists, and other stakeholders will have access to regional relevant results. And that will help them to coordinating the use of the insecticides that are still working. There are some new products, some new technology that's coming down the pipe. Probably your growers are aware of RNAi biopesticide products that are soon to be available in the U.S. And there's also a company in Canada that's working on that, and some new chemical class insecticides that are soon to be registered for potato beetles as well. So some new solutions coming along, but again, you know, they will still have to be considered as part of the resistance management program.
Yeah, no magic bullets. And I think the frustration for some people is that, you know, the neonics works so well as a seed treatment that you could apply it and forget it, you know, like, and then mm-hmm. Now we're having to come back in with foliar sprays. And I think it's just we're just going to have to get used to that, at least for the near future. I think, yeah, it is exciting. There's this RNAi technology looks like it's coming down the pipe in the not too distant future. Cimegra, broflanilide that was had the label extension this year for Colorado potato beetles. Growers are already a bit familiar with Cimegra here in PEI for wireworm control. So I think, you know, that's another tool in the toolbox. So I think if we can keep adding tools rather than, you know, because we know we're going to lose some as either reevaluations or just because they don't work anymore, we need to keep adding tools into the toolbox. So I think that's important. And on the sort of that screening side, like, does your lab have any plans to keep looking at this as we go forward with some of these newer chemistries and also with some, maybe some of these molecular approaches that we talked about?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, we're still accepting populations this past season and this coming summer to evaluate this these new chemistries that are coming out, the metadiamides like Cimegra. So we're looking at doing baseline testing with populations from various regions.
Right on. Well, yeah. I'm sure we'll be able to find you a few more samples from PEI this summer, because there's usually always a few kicking around for sure. So I appreciate the time today, Ian, to talk to us a little bit about your research and the team. And it wasn't just you as well. You had partners across Canada with the, as you say, with the different extension folks and other scientists. So we appreciate the effort. And I think it was a very successful national project. It's sometimes those cluster projects, they're national projects, but they can be very centered on one region or maybe the priorities of one region. But Colorado potato beetles is really something that kind of affects us all. And it's definitely something that we can have a true national approach to looking at. Even if the results differ a little bit by province, it's definitely something we're, you know, that's important that we need to keep our eyes on.
Very true.
Yeah, yeah. So thanks very much for joining us today. We'll be sure to get some more samples to you this summer. And we appreciate your effort on behalf of the potato growers.
Thank you for your cooperation.
All right. Thanks, Ian.